Welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly call. Today is July 8th, 2024. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern Time. If you're listening over Rumble, YouTube, or another network and you would like to ask a question or make a comment, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org, click on our weekly call for instructions to join us live by phone, app, or browser. If anyone would like to email a question, you can send your questions to questions, that's plural, at nationallibertyalliance.org. Please support our business partners. You can find their banners on the right side of our website, of which the proceeds go to support NLA's effort to save our republic. Also, please support NLA by donating $5 a month or more. Click on our donation tab on the top right-hand side of the website. Okay, we're going to pick up on our scripture reading where we left off last week. We're in the Epistle of John, first Epistle of John, picking up in John, 1 John chapter 3, read by Alexander Scorby.
Chapter 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him. And he cannot sin, because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemneth, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments, and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us, by the Spirit which he has given us.
Okay, Jan, do we have any questions tonight?
Yes, we have a bunch. Hold on a sec. You had or someone had contacted you, John, with an announcement about a barbecue on Saturday, July the 20th. Do you
want I spoke with them today, and I'll be talking with them more tomorrow. I do have the email. I'll take care of that.
Okay. He's in the queue now if you want him to go first, or we can pick him up at the end of the questions.
Yeah, we'll keep an eye for him. Well, let me open the queue. Maybe he can get in first, and then we can talk first on that subject. But we'll continue on the questions.
Okay.
So get into the queue, and anybody else who wants to get into the queue, pause a few seconds and then get into the queue. Okay, go ahead, Jan. Back to you.
Okay, I am being advised by people that I must let the government know that I am suing them. Is that true?
Say this one more time. Did you have to notify the government or something? Or the attorney general?
I guess that's the question, John.
Well, read it the way it was written, because it sounded a little...
Okay, exactly as it was written. Yeah. I am being advised by people that I must let the government know that I am suing them. Is that true?
Well, they do a lot of things, write a lot of things, make a lot of rules, write a lot of laws. And yes, generally speaking, they require that you notify, I believe, the Attorney General that you're going to sue. Of course, under common law, that doesn't apply. I've never done it before. But I wouldn't advise someone to skip that if they don't understand how to defend and deal with that particular problem. Lawyers will tell you that. I've had lawyers in court whine and complain because that didn't happen. But they usually win anyway because they just throw you out before the day is out and they don't have to deal with you. And that's what we're up against, and it's up to us, we the people, to do something about this, and we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight. Next.
Okay. Do you know any case law which clarify how to rebut an affidavit?
Well, I don't know anything about any case law saying anything about it, nor do we care about any case law concerning it from the perspective of common law coming in under a court of record. But rebutting an affidavit is simply that, to rebut the point, every point. When they make a statement, you rebut each statement. Any statement with an affidavit that's unrebutted is accepted as truth through acquiescence. And then, you know, if you build up enough acquiescence, enough facts that they fail to rebut, at some point you can file for a summary judgment. It was in the court, of course, the same court is filed for the, move the court for a summary judgment. And you should get it if it's enough to win the case.
Okay. Next question. I am a reader, and I need to be able to easily refer back to information. Videos are not helpful to me. Is the book Court Access in the Common Law enough to be able to prepare court documents correctly?
Absolutely. Of course, the course was done a little bit later. Some additional things that's not in the book. I think there's more explanation. Of course, the course lays it out a little differently. You know, I wrote the book from one perspective, but when I did the course, I took it from another perspective. I just saw that I had to do that. But yes, the book is sufficient. And I would strongly suggest also to get the book. If you're going to use the book alone and not take the course, I would strongly suggest to get a hold of the book, Government by Consent, also, because it covers a lot more on the common law. And I think the course really focuses in a lot more step by step, point by point, as we move along on the common law. So combining those two books together, particularly one to follow through for forms, procedures, process, see how due process works. And then the other book, of course, it's got more memorandums in it. It's got a lot of different information. You can go look at the subject matters, you know, all of the different in the title and within the book, you can go up and look at that. As a matter of fact, let me see if I can pull it up quickly. Books. Okay, Government by Consent. Okay, you can get a lot of details in here on how the book, what's in the book, and it lays out, you know, government by consent, our constitution, the common law versus civil law, right to self-governance, the rule of law. Some of these things are not covered in the course. You know, sovereignty, self-truth, is a self-evident truth. Goes through a lot of American history. You don't get that in the course. Grand jury and petit jury, history of the sheriff, the courts, the different courts that are available. We do cover most of that, of course. But again, everything you need to go through the process of the courts. But remember, you know, it's a state of mind to begin with. It's a good understanding of the common law to come in with procedures, which you know, through your procedures with the common law. You got to be careful with the statutes and the codes that they write and put them into proper perspective and so on. So, again, you know, once you go through the course, the best way to really learn to write is by reading other people's papers. And I would say not necessarily lawyers' papers. You're not going to get much out of them anyway. But, you know, Supreme Court rulings are good to read. Some of them are bad, but most of them are pretty good as far as the United States Supreme Court rulings are concerned. And but some state Supreme Court rulings are good. We've got a lot of papers we've written. I think you can learn a lot from the court cases that we filed. We have filed an action against YouTube. You could read that, an action against the judiciary. And in the action against the judiciary, we have tremendous amounts of papers filing. So again, you know, reading papers teaches you how to write. And sort of the lingo or the language, the flow that goes, you know, that you want to put together in a court. Okay, next.
Okay, you're going to have to listen carefully to this, the way it's written, John. I'll read it slowly. We have a selected by City Council, ABA Municipal Court judge and prosecutor. We have witnessed the Kangaroo Court in action, appalling and repugnant. We, the Committee of Safety, would like to take action and present to this judge a quarantro of our own, if he has not already been presented one. A potential issue, we are still feud 20 to 30. We the people, and growing, we feel it would be rushing things if we do not have our judicial committee manned. We currently have 9 people on the judicial committee, 1 willing to take the training. We have the book, Government by Consent, and the letters ready to present to the county sheriff, but we have decided to wait until the judicial committee is up and running. We need something to get the attention of the people of the county now. What is the best and most effective way to go?
Well, it basically answered your own question concerning the Judicial Committee and education. And if people are just getting educated now for the first time, and they're going to go through the course and go through maybe the book or however they educate themselves, and then think they're ready to write, to do something with a writ quo warranto or something, well, I'm sorry to say that you're sadly mistaken. You can write something, but it's going to be awkward probably. Again, you got to get a little bit of a flavor going. You got to get some experience. You got to read, and you got to study. And the more people, if you have a judiciary committee, let's say, I think they said there are about 7 or 8 people, whatever it was. Anybody on the judiciary committee should be focused in on the knowledge of the judiciary, how the courts work, how due process works. All the people involved in that should be focusing in. They become also the advisors to the rest of the committee because they'll get to understand the law and understand how things work and so on. Just like the political committee, you really want to dig down deep to understand how the political process works. Most people have no clue on how that really works. And, of course, the handbook is key to that. It'll give you a lot of information, a lot of knowledge, because then you'll understand how really people are put into office. You know, because they have to appear on the ticket, and the question, how do you get onto the ticket? How is it divided among America? For instance, you know, when you're looking at electing someone, let's say on a federal level, and each one of these committees have to work with other committees. And this is why it's all so important that we structure our committees of safety the way that we've written it up. You know, basically, it's only a framework. We're not commanding or telling people anything. We're just giving you the structure. We've learned that from history. We learned that from the founding fathers. We learned it from common law. And we put this whole thing together. So you really want to go through the process of really understanding these things. So everybody on the political committee, you know, needs to really buckle down to understand. Now, you know, when you go to vote for someone, let's say you're a representative in Washington, your congressman, you're going to find out that the congressman represents more than one county. So if he has a representation in six counties or whatever the case may be, you know, you got to get together with those six counties. We wrote a book very particularly on that process. And it's a handbook. You know, those handbooks are all free. You can download them, PDF, or you can go out and buy the pocket handbook, whichever you want to do. So you can download these handbooks in PDF form and learn that. The Educational Committee, they have to have really a structure on how they're going to approach the problem and the situation. And all of these committees, the sheriff is key. First order of business, you know, as we've been teaching, you know, you want to get your paperwork together. You want to get your resolutions together. And you want to put that into a book form. It sounds like you have enough people to really go forward with this. So I think they said that they haven't contacted the sheriff yet. But whether they said that or not, that is the most important. There's nothing more important than first contact. First contact is sheriff. Nothing more important than that. And as we teach it, basically, is your first meeting with the sheriff when you've put together your resolution and everything, and you put all your paperwork together with your seal, and you hand deliver that with a copy of the book, government by consent, and give them a copy of the sheriff's handbook. I think that's one, when you go to see the sheriff, you probably want to buy the purchased one. You know, people give them a lot more faith or belief or credit to something that is written in a book form that's purchased. So make use of that. We wrote a book, and again, you could do a PDF, and also that PDF, you can print it out and hand it also with that. But I really do suggest, in that case, you spend the $5 or $6, whatever it is, and get the pocket handbook. So your first visit with your sheriff is only 5 minutes. That's it. Introduction, how you doing? This is who we are. Here's a copy of this. And, hey, we'd like to talk with you about the Constitution. Maybe you could take a look at this book. And in about 30 days, we'll give you a call and get together and talk. And then that's when you want to invite that sheriff down to your meeting. And you're all prepared for this. You've given them something to become educated. And, you know, if the sheriff says, well, I haven't had time to read the book, well, he had to have breezed through the book. And if he breezed through the book, there should be a great deal of interest by that sheriff, because that's going to liberate him. It's going to empower him. And there's a whole chapter on the sheriff. We got a lot of information on the sheriff in that book, Government by Consent. So, you know, if that doesn't, you know, get him, then you're going to want to start thinking about getting another sheriff in supporting someone else. But it is key to get your sheriff on board, because once you have your sheriff on board, then you can go and intimidate the boards, the Board of Elections, the Board of the School Boards and Town Boards, Village Boards, because the sheriff's going to be with you, because that's the deal. That's the relationship. And you're always ready to serve papers to dismiss that board. You do that through writ quo warranto, the 7 days to show by what authority and cause, or 8 days, I think it is. And non-responses are removed from office. And the sheriff can deliver those papers by being there. It's much more powerful. And hopefully the board will wake up and respond and yield to the people's will. So anyway, I want to spend just a few more minutes on this, because, you know, it is disturbing. I do hear about some committees of safety. They're not really connecting with us at the national level. They're not really educating. They're taking shortcuts. They're trying to move too fast on certain things. And it doesn't work well. And if you're not structuring yourself like all the other committees, again, just the framework. I'm not telling anybody to do anything, just the framework. So if we're all with the same framework, we're all talking the same language, we're all doing the same thing, we can all work together. But if people are doing things radically this way and radically that way, you're not going to be able to work very well with other committees of safety. And of course, if you move and you come into another committee of safety, you know, there'd be a problem if it's kind of alien to you. So we do have to be careful, because some people will try to seize control for whatever purposes and take you astray. So I really, really strongly advise to follow the process. And if in some places, and we've had two or three occasions where we had cutaway committees of safety, people organizing under our auspices, let's say, and they went so radical, we just had to cut them off, get another committee of safety started, because it's problematic. We have to speak the same language. We have to work together. And again, everybody, National Liberty Alliance gives no marching orders to anybody. We don't tell anyone what to do. And the day we do that is the day that's when you want to cut National Liberty Alliance off, start giving marching orders. But we do want to, get people, to really look at different things, come in conversations, and maybe two or three or four solutions could come up out of those conversations. And yeah, everybody could do, you know, and exercise whatever it is that they want to exercise. Some counties, all counties, have their own unique problems with their own local governments, town, village, and cities, and so on, and the county itself, and unique problems. But there are also things we share, especially on the state level. You know, New York has 62 counties. Of the 62 counties here in New York, we come together, you got 62 points of view, but we do work together when we're dealing with maybe electing a governor. Or dealing with a problem that we want to come and take into the court collectively as in our case 62, and all 62 counties working together to go into the courts to maybe bring the legislators under the will of the people or the governor or whatever the case may be. You know, one county can't get much done. Two counties, still not much. I mean, you really have to get enough counties going in your state, and that's why it's important to invite people from other counties when you do committees of safety, to get them excited about doing that in their own counties and assisting them and helping them to do that in their own counties, and also for them to do the same, to share it with other counties, to move this across the state and of course across the United States, because on the federal level we have to work together again. Now, as far as going into the courts, I don't know if you're really ready or qualified. I haven't met many people who really, really understand the common law and the difference between the common law and the law that we meet when we go into the courts, how to recognize a lot of things. You know, when you read something, people might read something superficially on a level, you know, on a superficial level, but really there's something maybe on a deeper level. You also have to understand that law is constructive, okay, especially statutory law. It's all constructive, and you got to go down that rabbit hole sometimes depending on what you're doing. For instance, if you're pursuing something under USC 26, there's quite a few rabbit holes you definitely want to climb down in order to expose the fraud and make your point from their perspective. You know, you're going to use their law to show that they don't have power or authority over you. You're going to use their law, their statutes, shall I say. It's not even really law. You're going to use their statutes to show that you don't have to do certain things that they claim that you require by using their statutes. So why not win the case that way? So use that against them. But if people are just learning the law, you're really not qualified, and I don't think you're going to do a good job at it, and I don't think it's going to be very helpful. And we're going to talk some more after the last calls here, whatever questions we have left. We're going to talk a little more about this kind of a subject shortly, because we're doing something on the national level that should bring to order the things on the local level. All right, next question.
We are still undergoing the contesting of our property to regard it as private, and have been talking with the county's legal department about private status, and the attorney's response was that there are no provisions for privatizing one's parcel, and he asked if this was a means to avoid a future reassessment. We rebutted and invoked the common law and not the statutory process. We will keep you informed as the situation progresses. What do you suggest next?
Well, again, you're not going to win in this case, most likely. It'd be a very, very rare situation someone's going to win in this. You know, the proper way of going about it is the way we're talking about it. There's other ways, but you're not going to win the other ways either, most likely, because, again, they don't want to give in to that. This is their main, way of making money, really. I mean, one of the main ways, there's lots of ways they make money, but they make money, of course, off of, putting your property into, whether it's residential or commercial, and you're stuck into paying the taxes and all that stuff. But I really wouldn't worry too much about that. I'd spend more time studying the law, studying the process and procedures of the law, as far as going into the courts. I'd work more on the committees of safety, getting together with your sheriffs and preparing to go forward, because all that's going to disappear when we take things back. And again, our program's going to talk a little bit about where we are with that kind of a thing, where we are with devolution. When is the military going to make a move? We're going to talk a little bit about that tonight. So you'll probably pick up more shortly off of that information as we move on our program tonight. Next question.
I have just had a teleconference call with my state representative, and toward the end of the conversation, I had asked directly, as I had initially requested in an earlier letter, for a written copy of their oath of office and security bond, or surety bond. The representative's response was, after talking to their legal department, stated that their office is not bonded. I have mentioned this to Mickey Klein's organization, the People's Operation Restoration, to see what they advocate. What do you suggest?
Well, again, writ quo warranto, if you understood that and you have enough knowledge in the law and how to go through the process and procedures and write that particular paper focusing in on that particular problem, you can have them removed from office, because they have to have a bond and an oath. No bond, no oath, no office. The office becomes a vacancy. Next.
Okay. The last question. Finally, I came across a pretty good reference source on Rumble called Common Law Group, and they deal heavily with the right to travel and licensing. I think sharing this matter is appropriate since this subject is brought up quite often on the call, and they gave some links. In case you didn't get them, I can forward them to you if you're interested.
Well, you could forward them for me. I'll take a look at them, but it depends on how much is there and how much time I have to look at it, because I'm really very busy. But we do cover all of these things. We get very in-depth. On our course, we cover a lot of things on traffic, and the same thing that you do in traffic court, you do in any other code court, any court that is applying statutes, okay, is applying codes, and those codes, again, is the same process, same problem as you have in traffic law. It's an administrative process. They have no power, no authority. They don't have the person jurisdiction. Now, they do have the power and the authority to deal with commercial problems, okay? But if you take away all of the other things, dealing with the people, these courts wouldn't be able to survive. So I believe a lot of these courts are going to disappear. A lot of those police forces are going to disappear because they're going to, for lack of money, they're not going to have enough money to maintain them. But anyway, if you go into Education Starts Here, go to law, come down to court forms and process, we do have some information on certain things in the courts. We have, for instance, a demand for oaths and bonds, common law trust, instruction forms for traffic courts. Now, again, these instructions and forms for traffic courts can also be used in any of these courts, the town courts, village courts, and most city courts. Okay? But you have to really understand the other side of things to change the verbiage in these documents to properly work and look up different things, properly work in whatever the court is coming at you for or with. So again, it gets back to an education. Lawyers spent 2 years in law school, at least, and quite often they'll go further than that, but at least 2 years in law school. But we have a 90-hour course, and you can get through it as quick as you possibly can find the time to get through it. You know, 90 hours is 90 hours. But even getting through it quickly or whatever, you still have to really go back and massage things, go through things, and work on things, and then work on writing, how to write, how to say things, how to really posture your position. You have to have certain mindsets. You have to understand the positions of the court in that particular situation. You need to do some homework there. It's a good idea to find out who the judge is, and you can look the judge up online.
I lost you, John.
Am I back?
Yep, you're back now.
You have to understand who your adversaries are. So you have to, it's homework. And again, people are not going to be able to jump into this very quickly. You can go and practice in traffic court. That's pretty simple, cut and dry, and paperwork is very focused on that as far as instructions for challenging that. In traffic court, we also have forms and how to challenge the jurisdiction, which gets us back also to the traffic court, because it's a matter of challenging the jurisdiction, because that's what it's all about. They don't have the jurisdiction over you. We have instructions and forms to move your case for cause, and instructions and forms to file a habeas corpus, how to move court for enforcement, notice and demand, and a lot of other downloads like on maxims and things of that nature. Lots of memorandums that you can download and read. And reading memorandums will give you also a lot of good insight on how to write, okay? But the course, of course, is far more deeper than that and more instructive. Each one of our sessions run about 3 hours, some of them 3.5 to 4 hours. So again, 90 hours, we're looking at about 25 to 30 sessions to go through the whole course. Next.
Okay, that's all the questions now, John. Do you want to open up Ken's?
No, we're going to get to it. I want to cover a few. Well, I guess we will. We'll open up Ken first, and then I want to cover a few things, because Ken, I think, is going to make an announcement, if I recall. So let me get him first. Ken, you got the mic right ahead. Maybe you don't. Hang on a second. Let me try it again. Go ahead, Ken. You got the mic.
Can you hear me okay?
We can hear you.
Okay. Good evening. Thank you, John. Thank you, Jan. I want to announce that on Saturday, July 20th, that's not this coming Saturday, but the one after it, starting at 12 noon, and the rain date will be Sunday, the 21st, there will be a free barbecue sponsored by Americans for Legal Reform. It'll be held in Smithtown, Long Island, again, starting at noon. It'll be at 14 Ray Lane. That's Smithtown on Long Island, 14 Ray Lane. For more information on that barbecue, you can go to Americans, that's plural, four, that's the number four, legalreform.com. Again, Americans for legalreform.com. This will also be an event where people can network. So if you come from an organization such as NLA, you can bring literature to pass it out, talk to other people, etc. And during the course of the day, it's expected that there will be several hundred people that will pass through there. So I thank you, John, for allowing me to announce that. We'll speak to you tomorrow regarding our conversation today. And thank you, Jim.
Okay. Thanks, Ken. Yeah, I did get the email. We'll talk tomorrow. We'll get something out. We're going to send it to memberships within certain states, New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, and a few other New England states, so on. There's a two-sided flyer. Anybody that goes out there, maybe you might want to print this two-sided flyer, which introduces people to National Liberty Alliance. On one side of the flyer, it talks about County Committees of Safety will save America, and it gives some good information there. On the other side of the flyer, it's what to do now, where to begin, and what to do after. And it leads them to the process. It's sort of some breadcrumbs, so to speak, to lead them to the process and ultimately, hopefully, to National Liberty Alliance to download all the information we have on creating committees of safety and getting involved and getting knowledgeable. Education is the key. We are not going to save this nation unless we have an education. Again, I repeat this often enough, Jeff, what Jefferson said. If the people expect to be ignorant and free, forget about it. It's not going to happen. It just is not going to happen. And proof is the fact of where we are right now, because we are ignorant to how to have common, how to have government by common, government by consent. We're ignorant to what common law is. We're ignorant to the fact that they have changed all of our courts throughout America at every level to civil law courts, statutory courts. You cannot get a court of justice anywhere in America. Maybe there's someplace, but no, I haven't found them yet. I think the United States Supreme Court has been liberated, at least six of the judges up there, to be free to really put their true opinions down and understanding of who we are and where we are and what needs to be done. So a lot of things have been going there, and we're looking to head up to the United States Supreme Court on numerous cases. So, I guess that's it. But going back to Ken, we're going to do something with that papers, with sending out that information tomorrow. Hopefully we'll get it done.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, before we, mute him. Before we get going, I want to share a 10-minute clip, a very powerful, powerful 10-minute clip. Okay, and it just came out recently. You know, we're 3 months from the election. We're 6 months from Trump taking office. And I say that with the idea that we know that Trump's going to take office. There's no doubt in my mind, no matter what happens, he's going to take office. But we're 3 months from the election. These are rats caught in the corner. Okay, they're ready to do the most evil things that they can do because they're not going to go down without a fight. And of course, there are forces, of course, the white hats, so to speak, working to prevent these things, to keep them at minimum, and to protect the people as best they can. But there's going to be violence in the streets. There's going to be some deaths. There's going to be a lot of things going on. There's going to be the movement of World War III. I do believe that that's going to kind of come to a head at some point. And how deep we get into World War III, whether a nuclear blast is blasted off somewhere, or so, I don't know, but we're heading for World War III. They're looking to do another pandemic. I mean, these people are not going to give up because they know that the penalty is pretty severe for what they're guilty of. In 2017, Trump reopened Guantanamo Bay detention camps and renovated it. Okay, it was shut down by Obama. Obama shut it down. Trump came in and opened it back up. Now, President Joe Biden has renewed the Obama administration's effort to close the prison, but it didn't happen. You know, it just didn't happen. We're going to look and listen to about 11 minutes of an audio video, I guess you'd call it. But late May 24, Pennsylvania Guard deployed to Gitmo to reinforce the Guard force. And Space Force opened up. That's Terry. Mute yourself. Anyway, they deployed to Gitmo. They're from PA. The PA Guard has deployed to Gitmo and to reinforce the Guard force that's over there already. Space Force has opened up for Air Force. Reservists to enter the Space Force Guardians. They've been called to service. The U.S. military forces have mobilized nationwide. Army National Guard, U.S. Protection Forces, Joint Special Operations Command, Space Force, Air Force Reserves, all mobilizing in the deep state warfare campaign. National Guard mobilizing in the swing states, meaning the 2020 elections where we saw the steal occur under the Space Force, bypassing the governors. So they're going to be calling in and pulling them in and not going beyond the governor. So pay close attention to the events of upcoming days. The hammer is getting ready to drop. Let me play this audio here now. Well, it's a video audio, but pretty much an audio. And then we're going to talk a little more about that and some things that we're going to be doing or planning to do. Let me see if I can find this. Where is this? Did I lose it? There it is. Okay. All right, here we go. If this isn't coming through, let me know if the sound isn't coming through.
Good afternoon, Patriots, and welcome to the 77th audio file in the audio cast series known as the Q News Patriot. I am the Q News Patriot. My name is SG Anand. Japan, JP Morgan Chase, Saudi Arabia, Caracas, Cuba, Kenya, Turkey. All of these places sound separate, all of these entities sound individualized and unique, and yet all of them and more are engaged in component parts of a much broader deep state dethroning operation that is rapidly progressing forward in real time. Happy American Independence Day to patriots in the United States and all patriots worldwide. We wage a nonviolent, peaceful, but resolute second war, a digital war for independence, not just for the independence of our nation here in the United States, but for the independence and freedom of all peoples everywhere to decide how they want to live and allow that to reflect the society that they wish to create. It's been far too long since we've had a true chance at this, and I'm excited to bring an encouraging report to each of you. Without further ado, Patriots, we have a lot to cover. Let's get right to it. Recently, we saw the U.S. Army National Guard deploy military police detachments to Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. As many of you out there are aware, military police are engaged in activities such as investigation, prisoner transport, prisoner security, prisoner surveillance and supervision, and force reinforcement operations. I find it fascinating that we see a unit deployed from Pennsylvania, one of the swing states in the United States of America, from the 2020 fraudulent election. Give me a moment, come over here. Pennsylvania Guard deploying to Guantanamo Bay. More than 100 Army National Guard soldiers assigned to the 28th Military Police Company and the 165th Battalion and the 55th or 5x5 Maneuver Enhancement Brigade departed from Harrisburg Airport to mobilize to Guantanamo Bay, this back in late May. The company is augmented by soldiers from Headquarters Detachment 165th Battalion and soldiers from the 1069th Military Police Company and the 28th Infantry Division's Headquarters and Headquarters Battalion. The unit will conduct, detention operations for Guantanamo Bay to ensure the secure, humane, and orderly confinement of detainees and inmates. In other words, we are reinforcing the prisoner protection and surveillance force, in other words, the guard force down there on Guantanamo Bay, because we are expecting, or we have already accomplished, either one could be true, a large amount or a large influx of eligible inmates. Several of the soldiers mobilizing with us have been deployed to Guantanamo Bay in the past for a very similar mission, said Sergeant First Class Matt Wilson, Operations Sergeant for the 28th Military Police. The unit will benefit from experience and expertise these soldiers are able to offer. The younger ones on this mission will use the opportunity as a learning experience and an opportunity to become a better military leader. The company will complete additional training at Fort Bliss, Texas, before arriving at Guantanamo Bay and beginning their mission. Now, what is really impressive and compelling about this is we've been talking about the activities of the Army National Guard and the U.S. Domestic Protection Forces, to include the Air National Guard, Space Force, and others, for quite a while, and certainly over our last recent audio files. In fact, I've published documents that I can neither confirm nor deny to be true that purport to say that Space Force, DHS, the National Guard, JSOC, and others are engaged in a multi-angular, multi-dimensional, deep state oriented warfare campaign, which is both awakening the populations of the world, safeguarding the world from some sort of catastrophic and cataclysmic civilizational fallout, and also allowing for the environments to change where societal dimensions such as the human trafficking component or the finance component or the healthcare, wellness, and other sectors can be augmented and shifted based on their capitulation or not in the conflict. I know that's a bit of a tall setup and a little bit of a deeper context than many out there, especially if you're hearing the broadcast for the first or second time, are going to be familiar with. But let's talk a little bit about the behavior of the National Guard. We've seen the National Guard in recent months attempting to incorporate components from the Air National Guard, many of whom were engaged out of several swing states meaning reference to the 2020 general election where we saw the steal occur. Many of those National Guard components are essentially being requested by the Space Force, or excuse me, by the Pentagon, the Department of Defense, to move under the command of the Space Force, bypassing their governors. On May the 23rd, we saw Space Force open up applications for Air Force reservists to come in as full-time Space Force guardians. Taken out of Arlington from the Secretary for the Air Force Public Affairs, Air Force reservists in space-related career fields interested in volunteering for the U.S. Space Force in a full-time capacity. In other words, we need a full-time reservist to come back to active or semi-active duty. Can expect the application window to open June 1st through November 30th. In other words, this is the same period where we expect escalation from North Korea onto the South Korean side of the peninsula. This is the same period where we will see the Parisian Olympics. We're currently in that period now. This is the same period where we're expecting to see tremendous geopolitical shifts, which would seek to disrupt or certainly obfuscate the process towards the 2024 presidential election here in the United States. And the application window closes a mere 25 days after the date of that election. This transfer option is part of Space Force Personnel Management Act approved by Congress and signed into law as part of the FY24 National Defense Authorization Act. When fully implemented, the PMA will enable the Space Force to create a new model of service integrating active component guardians and Air Force reservists in space-focused fields under a unified service that offers full and part-time service options. General Chance Saltzman said it is an important first step towards fully integrating critical space expertise from the reserve into our force. Now, isn't that fascinating? We've been talking, Anons, for a while that the counter-saboteur operations and the counter-insurgency operations that have been taking place within various chains of military command and control encompass both the active duty and the reserve component of forces of the United States Armed Services. And so now we're seeing the Space Force essentially requesting that Air Force reservists coming over from the Air National Guard, or excuse me, coming over from the Air Force Reserve, should come into Space Force and consolidate into essentially under one umbrella, under one direction, sort of like having a general manager now taking over the role of two former managers. We've been serving side by side together, said the general, supporting the same mission for longer than Space Force has existed, and I am excited to call the teammates. I'm excited to officially call the teammates who decide to transfer guardians. Air Force reservists who hold specialty codes below are eligible to apply for transfer into the Space Force in a full-time capacity. Now, here's where it gets very fascinating. Officer classes, space operations, cyberspace operations, intelligence, developmental engineers, acquisition managers, science officers, space system operatives on the enlisted side include space system operations, intelligence, imagery analysis, signals intelligence, cryptologic language analyst, network intelligence analysis, targeting analysts, cyber defense operations, spectrum operations technician, and cable and antenna defense operations. And I find that absolutely fascinating because in my research, it very much looks like we're going to see some sort of nationwide blackout event. As a matter of fact, if I'm not mistaken, we've already seen releases from U.S. agencies just in the last few days now, coming up towards the holiday, discussing that they themselves are building out workable action plans and policies, one of these agencies being DHS, workable action plans towards managing a communications and grid work blackout, essentially a national crisis-style event here in the United States of America. And so now Space Force has been actively asking for Air Force reservists that are engaged in operations, spectrum operations technicians, so those would be like your telecom technicians, your full-spectrum electronic technicians, as well as cable and antenna defense operations, so that's reinforcement for electronic apparatuses and infrastructure that would include transmission and receiving components of the force. We also have cyber defense operators being requested by the Space Force to come into the service under this particular full-time umbrella. And so Lieutenant General John Healy goes on to say, the Space Force is about to integrate some of the most talented space operators under the Air Force Reserve, or excuse me, I have no doubt they will be key to advancing security in the space domain. In time, the Air Force Reserve, like the Air Force, will no longer maintain space ops as career fields, meaning reservists with 13S and 1C6 specialties must transfer to the Space Force in either a full or part-time position, or they will have to retrain under a different Air Force specialty code. Now, this is absolutely compelling because we're seeing the military forces of the United States positioning themselves sort of head off and absorb, it looks like, some of the things that we've been talking about for quite a while on this show and others, things that the entity online called Q has been letting us know about and has been telling us about. And one of the things that Q has also told us about is that gold will destroy the Federal Reserve Bank, and we have witnessed that process really progressing forward in the worldwide space in recent days and certainly in recent months. Going back to early 2023, we saw a number of significant sized regional banks here in the United States, North American financial system go under, go into FDIC receivership. We now have a situation just a little over 14 months later, after those initial collapses of 2023 began, where the
I'm going to end it there. This is 30 minutes long. It did cover the things that I really wanted to cover on this. And let me just make the point here. This next election, there's been information out there that it's really going to be watched over very carefully by the military, as well as the 2020 election also. And that's why Trump says, we got them all. We caught them. We got it all. What's very interesting here is if you read between the lines of what has been said before by Q, what Trump has said, and what's being said right now by SGNN, that the military will probably end up really getting very much involved in the elections, particularly in the certain states that are up to a potential, to go either way. The questionable places where all the cheating goes on. But what's really interesting is that Obama shut down Guantanamo Bay. Trump opened it up. Joe Biden shut it down, yet it's still active. And being really, lots of things going on, lots of activities, renovations have been completed, a lot of preparations going on, people heading over that way as far as military forces are concerned. So the question is who's really in charge? Of course, those who are paying very close attention know exactly who's really in charge. Trump is still president of the United States, and he will do a third term. But time will prove that one way or the other. But anybody that's interested in listening, if you're not listening to these audios, this is the 77th report since this guy surfaced and started putting out information on what's going on. You can go to Q Patriot. Let's see. If you go to rumble.com/user/Q News Patriot, you'll get all of these different audios. So he does a lot of interviews from different people who have podcasts going. So you can glean a lot of good stuff off that also. But again, he gives these reports that are very powerful. And here's the 77th report that we just looked at right here, which is the third on this page. And this was released on 4th of July, and of course, this was the first opportunity for us to talk about it here. So very interesting stuff and really giving us a lot of, hope on what's really going on behind the scenes. Okay, what I want to talk a little bit about tonight is what we need to be doing. And I've been thinking about this a lot, talking to other individuals. We're going to be filing papers in a federal court for a declaratory judgment concerning the restoration, the restoring of our sheriffs in counties in some states that have removed or appointed them. And we're going to be taking that into the federal court. And we're going to move it up. We're probably going to have to move it up to the Supreme Court, and I do believe we're going to get a good decision on this, at least from the Supreme Court. It's going to take some time to get there, so we may not be able to get up to the Supreme Court till around the election time. And whatever is going to be going on and happening, you know, because there's going to be a lot of chaos, these people, like I said, are not going to give up easily. So, you know, there's going to be a lot of things going on, but I do think that things may be in full-blown, you know, exposure, so to speak, and some violence in the streets and military movements. So this is a perfect time to file these papers. I was talking with someone concerning this with the sheriff, who was running for sheriffstown in Virginia, and was trying to go because go to the grand jury there, and they shut him out. And we've been talking about different things, and I told them, well, the next thing to do is let's go into federal court, and because I think we can get a good decision there. Not at the beginning. I mean, wow, if we can get something in the beginning, that'd be great. You know, we're looking potentially, and I'll be talking with some other people about that, to go up into the Northern District here in New York. Southern District is too corrupt. Not that the Northern District is any better, but I think it's a little better than the Southern District. Maybe we'll go out west and file the case. I don't know, but that's something we're going to think about, where we're going to file these cases. Now, there's another case that I want to file, and I think the timing is perfect for this. There are three more cases, so there's four cases. The second case that I'd like to file is a First Amendment case concerning the Federal Rules of Civil Procedure, that they're anti-constitutional, they're repugnant to the Constitution, they need to go, and we want to restore our courts of record. Going to lay out a good position in the fact that they have closed down the courts of justice. They've charged us money to go into their courts, and then they give us a civil law court through statutes on the minds of men who are being judged by men and not by the people. So that's another paper I'd like to file. I'm already writing these papers. I'm working on all of these papers already. I get the sheriff paper might be done probably this week. And I'd say the other papers that I want to write probably be done within another week or so after that. So within the next 2 weeks, these papers will be done, and I'd love to be able to file them. So the redress of grievance, as I said, on restoring our courts of law. Another redress of grievance under the First Amendment is to restore the concealed or original 13th Amendment. I don't want to do these all at one time. I want to do them step by step. The 13th Amendment one is going to be a problematic one even for the United States Supreme Court. They're going to choke on this one. Maybe that'll be the third one that we have to, the fourth one that we want to do instead of the third. I mean, I'm reading this one up as the third. The last one, which maybe we'll do as the third one, is a redress grievance again under the First Amendment to restore the balance of power. 17th Amendment to return the election of the Senate to the states, and that'll take a lot of power away from the corruption. So these are four cases, or is it five? Let me see. That the sheriffs is one, the courts of record is two, 13th Amendment is three, and the 17th Amendment is four, and then finally the lawsuit against the judiciary, which I think will be filing probably by the time the election is coming up again. So we're going to be looking for really what's going on in the streets at the time before we file that one. But we also have to realize and kind of calculate as best we can when it's going to hit the United States Supreme Court. I do believe the United States Supreme Court will hear these cases. And if they don't hear them now, for some reason or another, they will hear them when we take this nation back. But here's the problems, and the problem is money, okay? We don't have lawyers, we don't have people writing these things, charging us millions of dollars, literally, to do what we want to do, literally, would cost millions and millions of dollars to bar attorneys. We don't need anything like that. You know, we write the papers ourselves here at National Liberty Alliance, and there's nobody charging anything for anything that we're writing and doing and filing. Nobody's getting money on this, okay? But it does cost money. Another thing we need to do, we had our fax machines open. I have a computer, and I also have numerous fax machines, 10 of them, and I could probably put another 10 of them as a cluster. Box that I have, and it's all wired and has some software, and it works out, and it just faxes over and over and over again. We like to fax the sheriffs. I think I did a calculation that if the machine runs, we got, I think, 10 fax machines inside the machine. And like I said, we could put 10 more. But I did a rough calculation that we could fax to sheriffs, every sheriff in America, once a day. I mean, we wouldn't want to do that once a day, but we literally can get it out to all, fax out to all sheriffs in America within a 24-hour period, 24 to 36 hours, let's say. And if we do that once a week, we can start educating our sheriffs. We were doing that for a while, but at the time we were doing it, there was a lot of bad information concerning National Liberty Alliance. The lawyers were beating us up, the attorneys, as far as the county attorneys, all those people are crazy. So we don't know how much good we really got done, but we do believe that we did get some sheriffs that did get some education out of that. But we want to go back to that. And if we can send them one page a week that will empower them, that will bring them back to the Constitution, that will make them curious to come and learn the law, the real law of the land. They can come to National Liberty Alliance. We let the sheriffs in for free. They can come take our law course. And when they come out of our law course, they will be empowered in a great way, because they really will come to understand what the Constitution is all about, and also the authority and the powers that they have. And the powers that have been taken away from them, they can start challenging the powers that be that took it away from them and demanded to bring it back. And that's where this particular redress of grievance, redress of grievance for restoring, rephrase that. That's where the declaratory judgment to restore our sheriffs. I was talking a little bit to Brent tonight, we lost the call, so hopefully I'll connect with him tomorrow to get some more information and talk to him on his thoughts and ideas on some of these things. And one of the things I wasn't sure of, well, who are we going to focus in on to sue? You know, we have, there's a county in Kansas, okay? They actually have, they were trying to do a constitutional amendment, and they did it through a referendum, and to remove the election of sheriffs throughout the whole state. So there was a movement to save the sheriffs and require what was in the Constitution already, that they be elected. Let me think about this, because I've been reading constitutions lately on this. I think in Kansas, actually, they didn't have anything about the sheriffs being elected. I don't remember, but there is now. But they did allow for that one county to be permitted to continue without an elected sheriff. We need to deal with that problem. And we have a problem in Virginia, where a sheriff passed away and they appointed another sheriff, where the law says that if a vacancy takes place or for any constitutional officer, that if there is an election coming up within 10 months, then they can appoint a temporary sheriff, usually the undersheriff, and they would hold the office until the election comes up and goes. But if it's longer than 10 months, then it is required by law, and this is in the Constitution and the law, they're required by law then to run a special election. And I'm not sure whether it's 60 days or 90 days. It was told me 60 days, but I've always heard it's always been 90 days for getting a special election up and going. People need time to get things together. But in any event, okay, we're looking to deal with that problem, and that's what this guy Aldo down in Virginia was trying to, and he's running for sheriff, and he was trying to push those people down there to obey the law and require a special election, but they denied that, and they continued to go breaking the law. He tried to go, I mentioned this a little while ago, he tried to go to the grand jury, and they just surrounded him and removed him from the courtroom, from the room, and he didn't have the opportunity to talk to them. As a matter of fact, I had already written up a paper on behalf as a presentment by the grand jury for the purpose of pushing forward and obeying the law and executing the law. We laid it out how it was to be done, and for the grand jury to put out an order to require that to be done. But again, that was snuffed out, didn't happen, and now we're looking at it from a different perspective. I've been wanting to do this for a long time, to go in and deal with the sheriffs. We have no sheriffs in Connecticut. We have no sheriffs in Hawaii. We have no sheriffs in Alaska. We've lacked seven sheriffs here in New York, one in Kansas. And I'm still doing some research in some other places. I understand that they neutered the sheriff in Pennsylvania, that they can't even make an arrest in Pennsylvania, from what I heard. So I'm looking into that right now. So there's a lot to do on this, and I'll be putting my time in as much as I have to get this done in the next couple of weeks. But this is a partnership thing. I'm not a rich guy. I don't have the money to pay for all this. Each paper has to be served to numerous people, has to go into the federal courts. They're going to charge us money to federal courts. They're going to charge us as we move up. It's $600 just to move in to the appellate process. And then from there, I don't know what it even costs to try to get it into the Supreme Court. I got to look into that. We also, of course, going in, I know it's 400 and change, I believe, when we file the first federal. Matter of fact, I think it went up to 500, but I got to look into that too. We've got reams of paper that have to be printed out. Lots of toner, papers, mailings, filings, servings, all kinds of things that have to be done. So in order to do this, we need money. So I'm asking everybody, this is a call to all patriots, calling all patriots. But whatever you can afford, if you can only afford $5, give it. If you can afford $500, give it. If you can afford $5,000, give it. Whatever it is. Even though many people that especially come and listen to the program are supporting NLA by giving $5 a month or more, beyond that, we need extra money in order to push this forward and get this job done. Also, we do have a problem with our website. I'm trying to negotiate something down from the $3,000 level to get it cheaper, to be able to bring our website up to par. There is a concern about dealing with a critical mass. We do believe a critical mass is looming in the future, not too far away. And when that happens and we get hit with a lot of stuff, with a lot of people coming in, there's broadband to deal with. We're going to have an explosion on the cost of our websites, particularly through broadband, because broadband, you pay, the more broadband you need, the more it costs. And so the more people that come to your website and more people that spend more time on your website, the greater the broadband. But also we have to update our website. And that's what's going to cost us $3,000. We really need money to do these things. So look, the future of America is in your hands. Well, this is the part that we the people can do. Okay? The military is going to do their part. The White Hats are out there doing what they have to do. Trump is doing what he has to do. There's lots of people doing what they have to do. But the people need to get up and do something. Yeah, there's a lot of people out there that got podcasts, they're getting information out, getting the words out. People are learning and seeing and hearing and so on and so forth. But we need to take our country back, our republic back in the courts. We have to set the stage. We have to get educated. Everybody has to get into their committees of safety and get educated and start getting busy on government by consent. There is no such thing as government by consent without a committee of safety. Does not exist. Because right now what runs this nation are the two political parties, and it's really only one. They just get two different names, that's all. They're the ones that control everything. And the only way to get rid of those people is for we the people to take it away from them through committees of safety. Our plan is so simple to destroy their whole process because they'll fall apart by attrition. Whenever a committee of safety is created within a county and we start to really start doing some business within that county, taking control of the school boards, requiring them to give a proper education, going to the town boards, getting rid of a lot of these problems, shutting down these Nisi Prius courts from coming after the people with traffic violations and various other things and code violations, to get all that done, once and believe me, they live in the county, these people that are, the backbone of the party, that do all the work, they're being suckered into it. Believe me, I know, I was one of them. They're being suckered into them to go run these papers, to put these people on the ballot, okay? And it doesn't take long after a while. They have a high attrition rate. They're constantly looking for more and more people because as people discover that they're just a sucker and they're just being used to bring either the criminal on the right or the criminal on the left into office, they bail out. And how much more are they going to bail out when they know that the people are rising up within their county to do something to take this nation back, and we can pull those people who are very valuable, because they understand the political process. They're in the game. They understand how the breakup of these different political subdivisions are and how the process works, which we wrote a book on it. We got two books on this, on the political thing, the handbook. You can download them on our website on the Starter Committee of Safety. So to save the Republic, to return law and order back into our courts, to open up the courts of justice for free access, which is the way it should be, where the people can go into their own courts and take control of things, which is the way it should be, which is the way of common law, and to brush these people aside and put as many as we can in jail if necessary. In order to do all that, it's up to you. I'm going to do my work and get these papers done. I'll be sharing them as I get them done, and we'll see where we go. It's up to you to make it work. I'll do all the work I can, and others will do work to get this done. Other people will be helping, hopefully, putting this stuff together to get the mailing out and all kinds of things that need to be done to get this report, get this filed, and also update our website so that we can receive a critical mass. So it's up to you. It's up to you to save the Republic. Nobody is out there doing what we're doing. And anybody that is doing any good work in the courts, they're not doing the real more important, well, they're doing important things. There are some people and some organizations that are doing some good work. Don't get me, and they're bar attorneys, no less. So, whatever for that, however that works. But, we don't want to knock that. But they're not doing what we're doing. They don't know the common law. They don't understand the 17th Amendment problem. They don't understand the court of record problem. They don't understand the problem with the federal rules of civil procedure problem. They just don't understand it because, they've been, taught by these people, and they're true believers in certain ways and certain things and bar attorneys. They don't understand or believe that there is an actual 13th Amendment that will remove all of them. If we can get the courts, and I do believe at some point we can move that 13th Amendment either before the end of the year or after, not long after, we will get the 13th Amendment back. And that will deal with our law problems because all bar attorneys are going to have to leave the courts. They're going to have to leave the bar, and then they can come in, but now they got to learn something about the common law. They have no idea anything about that. They got the procedure and the process down, but they don't understand the common law. So where are they going to go to learn that? Well, hopefully they'll come to us. But they got to go somewhere to learn that and then exercise their knowledge of due process and how the courts work and to continue making money. The other thing is lawyers get way too much money. One-third is ridiculous. 25% should be the max and maybe even less than that. These people, they're so money hungry. They said they made all the rules. They control everything, and they make all the money on it. They line their pockets, and we we sit there watch and let them do it, whether we realize it or not. We let it do it. You want this nation back? It requires an education. You want this nation back? It requires a little bit of your dollars to do something. Some people can give a lot of dollars, and some people can only give a few dollars. The widow's mite will help as much as anything else. So it's up to you. It's up to the people. Let's see where we go with that. Okay. We need everyone to get involved in this, every single one. We're heading for a paradigm shift. We need to really bring the courts back quickly as possible. And let me ask, people that are coming to this meetings that we have every Monday, you're coming for a reason. You must be getting something out of what we're talking about. You must be getting something out of this. Bring guests. Get your neighbors. Get others, people in your family, friends, neighbors. Bring them to these meetings. Let's get them involved. Let them see what's going on. Let them see the power and the authority that the people can have and get involved. And let's get our committees of safety going. We don't have much time. And it's up to you to make it work. Don't just come here on a Monday and listen in and go home and, for the rest of the week and do nothing and come back and listen again. Let's get the word out. Let's get the job done. Let's put our money where our mouths or our will is. Let's save this republic. Okay. All right. Anybody has any questions, comments, or anything, you can get into the queue. Or if they got a phone, *6 and 1, and we'll take it from there. Okay? So we'll take our first caller. I see, Dan, you're on. I don't want to get too much into the conversation of what we've been talking about. Jan will be I'm going to talk with Gerard. I haven't talked with him yet about having a conversation with you to learn a little more about what you're talking about. And then, you know, see if we can work something out, see how it goes. You're up at the top of the list, so I'm going to take you first. Just take a couple of minutes, and because we got a lot of people here, and we only got 45 minutes left to talk with about, I don't know, 8 or 9 people that are in the queue. So let's take the next question. Hang on. Trying to get this thing to work. Okay, Ken, we already talked to. Okay, Dan, just take a couple of minutes.
Sir.
Go ahead.
Yes, sir. I want to not even go 2 minutes. Folks, I want you others to have a chance tonight, what you have heard, and get behind with your donations like I'm going to do, and many others will do as well. And so the other information, I've touched for the last couple of Monday nights, and I'm going to be on the phone, I'm pretty sure, tomorrow with Mr. John Durash, or at least Mr. Jerry and Priya and Mr. Jan Holland. So with that said, and to the upcoming July the 20th, those people there that would want to speak, let me break right now versus what I am have the honor and privilege at a little bit, possibly more so tomorrow, and let's let these people come in here about getting that book for the sheriff and sharing it with the sheriff and getting out with the safety, you know, the committee of safety, and get behind all the other ways that we can contribute. And let's not forget the 3,000. Let's pledge. If a few of us get $3, and there's 1,000 head of us, that's 30. There you go. If it's a few other bucks, say 5 or 10, you know, it brings the amount of people down that contributes, and there's the 3,000 to help them with the websites. Let me right now break and yield over. And if you have a little bit of time at the last, Mr. Jerry Priya, maybe want to ask me a question or two, but I'll have to not divulge that until sometime tomorrow, and I think that would be only fair. That way I can protect National Liberty Alliance being first at the door to be able to make some funds out of this, and I believe you're going to make a lot of them. So let me yield over, Mr. John.
I got a question. I thought of it.
I wanted to talk with you, but if you got a question, go ahead.
Well, you know, I've seen the ads for home title lock, so, you know, on the internet and different places.
Right. Let's talk about this, and then you have a private conversation, because we've got people.
Well, I just got a quick question, specific question for him, John.
All right, go ahead.
Most of our people come in to us when they're being foreclosed for taxes or mortgages. Now, home title lock is for people whose titles got stolen by these greedy lawyers, and they look and they see old people, and they go ahead and change the name, and before they know it, they got the title in somebody else's name, and then they come in and evict them. Most of our this title lock is not going to defend people that haven't paid their taxes or that have that are getting kicked out by the mortgage company because they're claiming they're defaulted even if they're not. You know, I just don't know that they'll do that. You know, I don't know what you want to say about that, but I mean, I know there's a bunch of there's a whole scam out there where they actually steal the titles, and they prey on old people that can't afford lawyers and stuff.
But yeah, we had people, I think, in our past that had that problem. But go ahead, Gerard.
Yeah, but he's saying they're going to represent these people in court. But yes, if you're getting foreclosed with a non-judicial foreclosure, and they changed the name on the title, because that's what my town does, they do it in rem. Don't know that home title lock's going to be able to defend that. I don't think they know how to defend.
Why don't we get into that detail, and maybe
all
we
right,
can
so
talk that, with
that's
the
my people. That's my biggest question, Dan.
Hold on. Well, first of all, I think we should talk a little bit, and you should talk to Dan tomorrow, get some information, get some contacts, and then we could talk with the contact people to see if they handle those things.
Sorry.
So I don't really want to tie tonight's meeting up with this call and this subject.
I think that's a good idea, but I'd be glad to answer the question. But I'll be honest with you. You're going to be pleased, Mr. Jerry Priya. And so let's not title, I mean, I'm not officially necessarily, but I can get answers for what you did ask, and that's what you want.
I really want to move on, though. Yeah, Gerard,
yes, sir, right?
It's best to work stuff out to see if it's worth going through, if it's something that we can benefit from, particularly the people that have the problems, and we'll work it from there. So let's take that off tonight's call, and we'll talk tomorrow, the next day. I'll get Gerard. Gerard will handle it because he has more knowledge about this title locks than I do. I don't have any knowledge on it, but we did have two people who had that problem that I was aware of. But let me move on, okay, Dan? Appreciate the
call. Yes, sir. I'm going to raise that question more to the company. I think I could already answer this, and I think Mr. Jerry.
Let's talk about it tomorrow or the next day.
Yes, sir.
I really want to get back to the conversation at hand tonight.
I agree. I'm yielding right now, sir.
All righty. Here we go. Anthony, you got the mic. Go right ahead. Good to talk to you again. West Virginia.
Hello. How are you doing, John?
Good, yourself?
There's lots of news. We've got so much news. I don't want to take up too much time tonight. That issue that we were talking about the 9-page report where we have this levy that went on the ballot for our primary election. We went to as a group. We didn't go as a committee of safety, but I'm telling you, this lady that is doing most of the research, she is acting as if she is a committee of safety. We went to the county commission meeting, and last Friday, the Bluefield Telegraph printed a front page story about citizens concerned about the levy being on the ballot. So we're stirring something up over here, and the people are working to do something in Mercer County, West Virginia. I'm really excited about it. The other thing is, I don't know how this is going to play in for National Liberty Alliance, but last week I ordered myself a printer that prints 17 pages a minute. It's a Hewlett Packard color laser jet. And if you need some things printed, and I get this printer, it hasn't been delivered yet, maybe I could print some things out for you. I don't know.
All right. Well, on the printing end, there's a couple of things. I have a fast black and white printer. I also have a color printer, which I've been having a problem with, but I'm going to try to get that fixed soon. But my black and white one does put out a lot of but the big case, which is the final case we're talking about, which really is we're going up a lawsuit against the judiciary. It's actually, I think we really should be calling it an indictment against the judiciary because we're looking for them all to stand down. And that particular case, we may have to take down to Staples or OfficeMax to get it done, because I think we're going to be looking at reams, at least one ream per filing. And we got 94 federal district courts to file in, but we've got 50 states to file in, and then all of the individuals that we have to serve on that. You know, there's so much to file, and each filing is going to be has to be done by a sheriff. And each filing, like I said, is going to be at least one ream thick. A ream is 500 pages. Could be two reams. I really don't know, because there's a lot of information, a lot of stuff. We have to support a lot of positions and lay it out because, again, this is I want to call it an indictment against the federal judiciary, and we need to clean house. And some people may think, well, that's going to close the courts down, and this is going to be a problem. It can't be done. You know, a lot of things people may think it's impossible, but I'm going to tell you it's not impossible. First of all, courts of record, which is common law courts, do not require, nor does it want, a judge. A judge can go sit in there only because he's a magistrate. all judges are magistrates. So he's only supposed to be the magistrate. He's not to be the judge in that courtroom. The people, the jury. The magistrate is just there to sign the papers of the will of the jury, put the seal on, hand it to the sheriff, and act as a traffic cop to make sure things flow. That's it. So we don't need any judges to continue our courts of law. What will freeze up is the equity courts. And that doesn't matter, because there's going to be so much chaos going on in the political end, and so many people being arrested and removed that's going to be a while before that fixes itself. So it doesn't matter that there's really no judging going on as far as equity is concerned on that end. Whatever's criminal that comes into the court from that situation that the military doesn't handle, the people will handle, because that's our business. And again, the people's court does not require, nor does it want, a judge in it. It only wants a magistrate. A coroner can sit in as the magistrate. Magistrates can sit in as the magistrate. Sheriffs can sit in as a magistrate. And I'm sure there's some other individuals, constitutional officers that could sit in as magistrate in the court. So that's not a concern. But we can do it, and we need to take them out. They need to go. We need to remove every bar attorney from our court system across America. And again, it's done by really getting the proper papers filed, getting our courts of record open, getting our 13th Amendment placed back, and bring the second 13th Amendment and the 14th Amendment needs to be brought together. They divided that into two amendments so that they can hide the 13th Amendment, and so they've hidden it. And they have a different 13th Amendment and a 14th Amendment. Well, they need to be consolidated. The 13th Amendment needs to be exposed, and the Republic needs to be saved from all of these minions of the New World Order, whose only purpose is, whether they realize it or not, is to destroy our judicial system. And they've done a magnificent job at it.
Yeah, they are good at what they do. Let me share something with you that kind of puts a. I'll let you make up your mind. I've invested some money in a company called Boxable. Have you heard about that company, Boxable? They're making prefab homes, like cars are prefab.
I thought it sounded familiar. Yes. Okay. Yeah, I heard about that.
Well, they've been. I invested money in about 2 years ago. It's really slow. They're not on the New York Stock Exchange yet. But I saw one of the founders of the company interviewed.
Isn't Musk doing something like that too?
I don't know. But this company is boxes.
Little houses that come up like boxes, and they fold up and they unfold them and bring them out.
That's what it is. That's what Boxable does. Well, guess where they sent 154 houses.
Where?
Guantanamo Bay.
Yeah.
It was a military order. Their first order was by the military. They've already delivered 154 of their little box houses to Guantanamo Bay. Where? And that's the first kind of secular news that I've heard that kind of reinforces everything we've been hearing about what's happening about these military tribunals.
Absolutely. And look at Biden shut them down by executive order, and yet it's still open and building.
Exactly.
People are heading out, you know, military is heading out there, more forces, all kinds of things happening. So it tells us what's really going on.
Exactly. Well, with that, I'll let you go. I'll keep you filled in with what's going on and here in West Virginia. And just keep doing what you're doing, John. If you ever need anything, I don't know how I'd be able to help you out here in West Virginia if you need something printed. You already got a printer. But anyway,
I'll tell you what I really, really need, because I operate out of my home, which isn't that bad. I like being home to operate out of anyway. It's easier. But I do eventually need an office and a paralegal secretary. And hopefully, you know, we are trying to woo in some big money from someplace to be able to make that happen, you know, to really put that together and turn professional here in L.A. We have national leadership, and we have various other individuals that have been active. We got some other positions that need to be filled, so we need to go professional, you know, and I need really a secretary and an office to work out of, and hopefully we'll get the big money from some of these big shots that are potentially out there. We're trying to connect with a group that's got a connection to them, and there is conversation on the low end going on to try to get up into the high end. And if we get there, we'll get that. And but with or without that, I'll continue to work as I work anyway. So, all right, thanks a lot, Ed.
Good talking to you, John. You're welcome. God bless you.
You too. Okay, let's take, it looks like Dawn. What state you're from? You got the mic.
Hi, John. Dawn from Orange, California. Hey, question, because so this is going to be my third year doing this. Last year, thank God, I said a really powerful prayer in the car, and things worked out for me. But I have an adult son that I have to do conservatorship, because here in the state of California, they do conservatorship. Like if you have someone that lives in a long-term care facility and stuff. So last year, you know, I know how to fill the paperwork out. I don't have a problem with that. I filled all the paperwork. I got to my first court case, and the state of California goes to these long-term care facilities, and they try to educate the patient that lives there to let them know that they don't have to give conservatorship to someone, that they don't even have to be in a long-term care facility, that they could just basically live on the streets. And so they try to convince them. It's, you know, the public defenders, they go out there. So anyways, my son had a public defender who talked him into relinquishing the conservatorship. And when I went to court, now granted, I'm in person, and the way the court systems run now is it's all online. And so the public defender was online, like in a Zoom meeting, and she starts screaming at me, telling me that that she can't talk to me, that I need to get an attorney to represent me, you know, as the one applying for reappointing of conservator, you know, for my son, who is clearly disabled and not able to care for himself, right? Because I have to get a physician statement too. It's not just like all my doing, you know, like he's got to have two doctors that agree with my statement, you know. And she was screaming at me, telling me I needed to get an attorney. And I told her, I was like, I don't need an attorney. I can talk on my behalf. And she said, no, you cannot. You, if you can't afford one, we'll give you, we will appoint one. You can apply for one if you can't afford one. But we're not having court unless you get an attorney to represent you. And I'm not going to have an attorney represent me. I'm going through it again this year, you know. And so tomorrow I'm going to go get my court case. I got all my documents filled out correctly. And then probably in about 3 weeks we'll be in court. And I'm going to stick with my statement that I don't need an attorney, but thank God she went off camera to go talk to my son, and he could hear me in the background telling her that I don't need an attorney. And then he realized I was in the courtroom, and he's like, no, my mom's going to be my conservator, you know, because my son actually really does appreciate me and loves me and all that I do. But they,
but why,
you know,
why
they
were, how did you get into court? Why are you in court?
You have to do it every year here in California. Every year you have to reapply. You have to go through it all over again, every single year.
These people think they rule and own the court. Wait a second. They do rule and they do own the courts. That's where we're at. People need to wake up to that. We don't own the courts no more. Courts of justice belong to the people. And exactly what we've been talking about tonight. I mean, you're proof positive on what we're talking about of the problems here. You know, they want to remove the people from the court. You can't talk in the court. You can't, and you don't represent yourself. You're coming in your own person. You may be representing your son, but you're coming in on your own person. I always put the impersonal.
She said I couldn't talk. She said I wasn't allowed to talk unless I was an attorney.
Because they are the minions of the New World Order. Their purpose is to do, and they don't even most of them don't even realize it. This is what they're taught in school. They're brainwashed. Yeah. First of all, they brainwashed our children, our kids, in this school, you know, first, second, all the way to the eighth and through high school. And if they go into college, it's more brainwashed, especially when they go into specialties. They're brainwashed as far as a bar attorney. Their minds are owned 100% by the elite. They are the minions of the New World Order. They are out there destroying everything. They've destroyed our justice system. Our judicial system is in shambles. There is no justice. And it costs you, you know, to go into a federal court, it costs you, you get $20,000, $30,000, $40,000. You've got to give a lawyer to represent you to go into a federal court. It's unbelievable. Justice is not for free. And you know, they say you'll get just as much justice as you afford. But if you got a good case, it doesn't matter how many millions of dollars you put up, you're not going to get justice at all anyway, because they maintain the status quo. So, I don't know what to tell you.
I'm going to try to stand up against them again this year. I'm just going to be a little bit stronger with my tone and my voice.
When's the next time you're going into court?
Well, tomorrow I got to go submit my paperwork, so it'll probably be like in 3 weeks.
Okay, so well, look, therein is you are the perfect example on why we need to get done, what we need to get back. We need to restore our courts of record. We need to get rid of the rules of the court, whether it be in the state level or the federal level. We need to bring that 13th Amendment up to get rid of these minions out of our court system. We need to bring the balance of power through the 17th Amendment. That needs to be, first of all, the 17th Amendment was never ratified to begin with, okay? But the 17th Amendment is repugnant to the Constitution. It destroys the entire balance of power. So we need to do these things, and we need to get rid of these judges. These judges are all criminals. They all deserve to be in jail. And those who don't end up in jail, they've done so much damage, people are going to be coming out of the woodwork to sue them as time goes on. And rightly.
Yeah, well, it wasn't even the judge that was giving me the hard time. It was the public defender.
He allowed that. He allowed that. He should have shut it down. And if he was on your side or had any compassion, he would have shut it down. But he didn't. Why? Well, she was handling it pretty well. I don't have to stick my nose into it. Let her
go. The other thing is, like, they're trying to get people out of these long-term care facilities, and then they're just putting them out on the street.
Right. Well,
like,
they got to make room for all the illegals. They got to make room for all the illegals. You know, that's the problem. You know, look at you. Don't be so uncompassionate. They got to do something to take care of these people. Your son doesn't count. Because that's their attitude. They don't care nothing about you. I don't know how they sleep. I really don't. I don't know how they continue in life. I wonder where their mindset is on their deathbed when they get to that point. Because that day will come.
Yeah. So is there anything that I can say to her when she brings up that I don't have to have an attorney. I can represent myself. There's no law that says I have to have an attorney.
That's right. There is what's called the next friend. You can bring that up if you research it. It is a federal statute that requires that people are allowed to come in and into the courts to make their cases. They call it self-representation. I don't like that, but, you know, they come in that way. And it's what's called, it's a federal statute called the next friend. So look that up, and that's one thing you can bring up to them, that you have a right. And who better for a conservatorship of your son than you? Who? All they want to do is suck down the money. That's all they want. They're not there to help your son in any way, shape, or form.
They're just going to put him on the streets. They're going to put him on the streets. And I don't understand how they get compensated, you know, like they plague these long-term care facilities and they go in like a herd to go in to convince the people that you don't have to be in here. You can relinquish the conservatorship.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, you know, again, you can look it up. I'll see if I can find something here. Are you taking a law course?
No, I'm going to take it eventually, but I haven't started it yet.
Okay, I thought I had something in here on Next Friend. It might be, oh, this is M. Let me go to N.
Do you know anything about Project 25?
Next Friend here. I heard something about it. I forget exactly. It's similar, I guess, to what's that other one? But what exactly is Project 25? I know we talked about it recently. I just don't remember.
Yeah. I just watched a video on it over the weekend, and Project25.org, it's all about Trump's support.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, so you can volunteer for different positions to help out. And they have like a whole education system where you have to watch all these videos before. Like, you have to get ready for January in order to support him in different capacities. But
yeah, I heard something about this, but I haven't really looked into it. I don't know if Gerard had time to look into it, but I haven't looked into it. And but let me just quickly go through this Next Friend here. Next Friend is a person who represents someone who is unable to tend to his or her own interest. Federal Rules of Civil Procedure, Rule 17, at least there's something good that comes out of this. Rule 17, 28 USCA, Next Friend. And Rule 17 says, infant, and it depends on what we're looking at. This is C, infants or incompetent persons. And whenever an infant or incompetent person has a representative, such as a general guardian, committee, conservator, or other like fiduciary, i.e., the handling of someone's interest for another, representative may suit or defend on behalf of the infant or the incompetent person. An infant or incompetent person who does not have a duly appointed representative, and you should be that representative, you volunteered for it, your son wants you, why not?
It's not easy. Like, trust me.
Oh, I know, but I'm going to tell you, if you don't understand the court system, the process, how things work, they're just going to get more and more frustrated with you, too. And if you come to have knowledge and you come in, there's a different kind of frustration they have towards you. Okay, so the next friend is one acting on behalf of someone else, and you have every right, and there is a, and they'll tell you, oh, well, the federal rules or the federal statutes, they don't apply here, we're in the state. No, that's BS. That's BS. Federal rules and statutes apply just as much as their own rules and statutes. Okay, so, and if you look in, there may be even something in the state law that may be helpful. Again,
I took a screenshot of that, so
and
I just
you
printed it.
This is also recorded, so you can always come back and listen and get to it also. So we'll be posting the video up on Rumble after the program tonight. So, but anyway,
John, just real quick, like if you want someone for another estimate for your website builder, I can like have them get a hold of Jan.
Get someone, you know, I can talk to and consider that. I really don't believe the guy that we got on the one hand, but on the other hand, you know, they haven't been too good lately. But this guy was really good, gave us a great price when we put things together, was very cooperative with us, and have been very reasonable. But the last, couple of years now, there's been some problems and that really have built up. But we'll talk to the person if you want to send their information. Just send it to mail. Well, just send it to mail. You know, contact information, and I'll get it too. Jan will get it, and everyone else on the national level will get it also. But mail at national.org.
That's great. Mail at National Liberty. Okay.
Yeah, I'll keep an eye out for it.
Okay, cool. I'll talk to him tonight. And then one last thing. Is the JAG still, like, is the JAG still in force, or?
What do you mean, the JAG? Oh, the JAG.
Are they
Yeah, of course they are, yes. We'll be sending everything we're doing, we'll be sending to them. We have been for a while anyway, at least on the federal level, when the judicial cases, we've sent them info on that. We've sent them, we've copied them on the, and they may be the ones that actually exercised it. We contacted them when we did the writ for Wanta. So, okay, I got to move on.
Thank you.
Appreciate the call. Thank you. Hey, Jeff from PA, it looks like. You got the mic. Jeff from Pennsylvania.
Hello, John.
How you doing?
Good, good. Hey, I've spoken to you before. I've also emailed Jan some stuff earlier and emailed some questions for Monday night. Usually I'll mail, you know, a few times a month, but I mailed a couple website links and a video, a Rumble channel called the Commoner Law Group, and they had some pretty interesting videos and workshops on, like, you know, the right to travel and about the property, you know, private property versus, you know, residential stuff, a lot of stuff that's brought up, you know, on a weekly basis. But also I wanted to fill you in on some up-to-date stuff with, you know, we're trying to pursue our property, our residence here, and having it, you know, converted into, or at least advocate for the private status. Now, we've dealt with the county back and forth, and now they're having their legal department reach us. You know, we've been emailing back and forth from the attorney from the county assessor's office, and, you know, of course, they said, oh, there's no option, and there's no option to privatize one's parcel, you know, or property. We weren't surprised at that.
Right, but, because they believe it's not private property. That's why.
Yeah.
So
we rebutted
it.
Yeah. Instead of, you know, we rebutted in the form of, we're not going to use the statutory process. We want to use the common law constitutional process, which is guaranteed right to private property of every person in the 50 states. And we still have yet to hear back from them since, I believe it was July 3rd, we last reached out to them. And also, I've been back and forth with our state representative's office. I actually had a teleconference call back on Friday with our state representative in about 15, 16 minutes long. You know, pretty succinct, but this initially started back in January, and I discovered that they legislated against the Second Amendment. That's what my initial grievance was, and I contested that, of course, with the facts that, you know, they cannot attempt to legislate against the Second Amendment, and that's also Article 1, Section 21 of Pennsylvania. And,
well, the Supreme Court just came out with a good ruling on that, too, a couple of them, I believe.
Well, yeah, this had to do with what was called House Bill 714. That's Pennsylvania legislation, mind you. But what it entails is background checks for private, you know, person-to-person sales, you know, non-FFL sales. And I even brought up, even if this were to pass, and he doesn't even believe it's likely to pass because we have a Republican majority in the Pennsylvania House and Senate. And I said, even if it were to pass, you know, theoretically, it would be enforced probably under, you know, Title 18, which is, you know, territorial jurisdiction. It doesn't really apply to people in the states anyway. And he was kind of unaware of the jurisdictional, you know, differences in how it's delineated from. They think it's, you know, ever-reaching and, you know, omnipotent. No, it's not. It's very limited, and it's territorial. And I also had, you know, throughout those months, had requested a copy of his oath of office and surety bond, and they were unsure what even a surety bond was, and I had to kind of inform them of that. And then they reached out to their legal department, and then they got back to me, and he said, yeah, his office isn't bonded. Now, I'm very discontent with that. I thought by law they had to be bonded.
And this, which office is this?
This is a state representative, state Congress.
Okay, they must be bonded. That's the law. They're holding their office unlawfully if they don't have a bond in an office. So they must be bonded. If they tell you that they don't, that will suffice most people, and they'll just walk away, and that'll be that. Okay, well, they don't have nothing. You know, I can't do nothing. Well, it's a lie. They've got it. And if they don't have it, they need to leave office. And that's where Rick Corwanto would come in. But again, you know, I'd advise before people filing these kind of papers that they get a little understanding and knowledge of how things work, number one, and gets a little bit of knowledge and understanding how to write these things, number two. And the more time you put into this knowledge, the better you're going to be. You know, I was a complete moron on this in the very beginning, and I think I'm doing relatively well with my paperwork and my writing and everything. And that's because I've done a lot of studying. I spent a lot of time with it. So you become as good as you want to be, or as good as you much time you have to apply to it. That's why this is so important to teach this stuff to our children. They need to be learning when they're very young. Their minds are fresh. They absorb a lot easier. You know, you just got to teach it in a good, interesting way. And look at, liberty is powerful. It's empowering to begin with. But in any event, children should be learning all this stuff. They should know how to go into courts, to represent themselves. They should understand the common law. They should understand the whole process, the procedures in the courts. They should understand the Constitution. They should know more about the Founding Fathers. They should know the truth about our Founding Fathers. I mean, you know, we got to get this stuff into the school, and that's where the committees of safety come in. They're the ones that got to get it into the school. Okay, we got to get the Bible back into the school. The Bible was the pinnacle of our education from day one and was removed, and it was that way all the way up until 1962 or 63. I forget which one of those 2 years. And, you know, we had morals, but now they teach woke. You can't be, they don't, I heard that maybe there are some schools, but most schools I heard that they don't even do the Pledge of Allegiance anymore. I did that every day. When I went to school, first order of business, and we also said a prayer every single day, first business in school when I was going to school. But all that stuff is gone. They got woke. They got all these guys coming in with dresses and then stripping and exposing themselves, and the children are getting involved in this stuff. You see 8-9-year-olds. I mean, it's bad. It's seriously bad. How do we allow this to go? You know, how can we sit aside and not do something? How can we not educate ourselves? How can we not require these people to get the hell out of office and to take these people out? How can we not do those things? We need to do them.
You know, it's real disturbing, John. This is a few years back now. They've been sharing this stuff and, you know, and really circulating this stuff about the transgenderism and stuff and the pedophilia and all that stuff. And even I've seen in pictures of, like, New American magazine from, like, the John Birch Society and stuff. I've seen adults in the back room of those classrooms viewing with the children. They're accompanying the kids, and they're not even reacting grotesquely. They're basically condoning this stuff. These are adults. These are the parents of these children.
Yeah, I know. I've seen that too, yeah. It's unbelievable. Hey, listen, I got to move on because we only got about 6 minutes. We got 3 people, 2 minutes apiece to close down, okay?
So if I can just leave you and your audience with this, if you just remember this again, on Rumble, the Commoner Law Group, I advise, you know, anybody to check it out. I, you know, encourage it. Very informative videos, and maybe somebody you could hook up with too for an interview. I know.
Well, you sent some videos in to mail or something.
Or no? Yes, I did.
Okay. Yeah, well, maybe I haven't had time. I know Gerard sends me videos too. And in fact, he sent me 2 videos. I started. Well, I just don't have the time to go through them. So, but others here at the National Liberty Alliance on Leadership, they can go through it and then advise us on whether I should take a look at it or what and where. So, all right, Jeff. Appreciate it.
Good night.
Thank you. All right, thanks. We'll take our next caller here. It looks like, is it Linda from Virginia? Linda, is that it? 703 number?
I'm sorry, I had to unmute. Can you hear me?
We can hear you. Go right ahead. Only got a couple of minutes because we're coming to an end of a program here.
Okay, well, I just, nothing big. I just kind of have a comment. But you had mentioned earlier filing those papers. You said the first one was about paying to go to court. And
the first one is on getting rid of federal rules of civil procedure and restoring our courts of record and giving us free access into courts.
Yeah, and, you know, I have long, you might remember, might not, but I've long had a problem with this and brought it up. But it basically renders a whole class of people, basically low-income people who can't afford, you know, to pay it, they're basically denied judicial access.
Of course, look at it, we all are. Look at it. Judicial access is free and should free. No man shall pay. That's the common law. Justice must be freely given. That's the common law. It's sealed
You probably wouldn't mind paying something to cover,
I don't want to pay nothing. No, I've already paid for that. We pay our taxes on that, and I'm not talking about income tax. That just goes into the pockets, and it really feeds the New World Order. That's what that does. But all the legal taxes out there. Hold on. Hold on a minute, Linda. We pay for the buildings we've constructed those buildings. We've employed all the people in that. In those buildings, we paid for their printers and all of their machines, their computers. We paid
high salaries, by the way.
They what?
I said at very high salaries, by the way.
Yeah, way too much. So we pay for all that. Why should we pay more? And besides that, justice is free. That's a common law principle. You can't change that. They made civil law. And they charge us to go into a court that we think we're going to get justice in, but you're not. You're going to get statutes. And those statutes are going to control.
What's wrong with it? It's not even funny, because the incentive then to commit abuses is way higher, because, you know, people figure nothing's going to happen to them. People can't defend themselves, you know. But this is what I want to ask. That was just a lead-in.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I want to ask. You're going to do these papers, and I'm wondering, is there anything that says, I think we need like one person in every state to file the paper. I'll file it for Virginia. I've been to the Supreme Court of Virginia. Wouldn't take that much more to go to the, you know, to try to go to the Supreme Court.
We might try to do something like that, but bear in mind, you know, we have to put it together and mail it, and then it's got to be brought into the court.
People willing to do that, one from every state. You know, we need an en masse thing. Unless there's a law against it, unless there's a law prohibiting it,
I'll consider that. We have done something like that already, but that was at a time when we had all 50 states organized. We had seals for every state. We had a telephone number. No, we didn't have telephone. Well, some of them had telephone numbers, but we had an address and seals for every state, and someone in each state was handling that.
You would have to have somebody organizing it, of course, to get one person from every state. But it just seems to me like that wouldn't be that hard, you know.
Here's the problem with the thing. Getting it into the courts is one thing. That's a matter, because we'll serve it, we'll put a seal on it, and we'll get a certified mail, and they got it. But the people that we are going up against, and it depends on what we're doing, and this is one of the things I was talking with Brent about tonight, okay, of these cases, going in for a declaratory judgment to restore our sheriffs. And I was asking Brent, and he said he wasn't sure on that. He says, I got to think about that. And I'm thinking about it, too. You know, who are we going to go after with this? My mind, first and foremost, is thinking the legislators, because the legislators are the responsible ones. We also have the Board of Election, but the Board of Election generally is ordered usually by the courts or by the law. And courts will order special elections, and the law will order for the normal elections. So that's what they follow, so they may not be the right ones. The other side would be the individuals that actually push this different legislation that has destroyed our sheriffs along. But I think it's the legislators, and I think that's who we're going to end up filing against, and those are the ones that's going to have to then come back and argue the point. And we would do this in any of the states that sheriffs are in jeopardy.
Okay, maybe who you file against is an issue, but I'm thinking that it doesn't matter. You don't have to have a goal in a case. You know, I'm a believer of peripheral value, and that a case, you know, it's simply a vehicle to elevate the facts. You know what I mean?
Those people have to be served, and it has to be, you know, the ones I just mentioned, which is really the legislators. They have to be served in a formal way. And it may be advantageous to use the sheriff and give the sheriff his $35 or $45. We still have to mail it to the sheriff, or we can mail it to an individual who can serve it and do an affidavit of service. The problem with that, though, is getting the people to do it. You know, we got 50 legislatures that we have to serve in this one case. Okay. So that begins getting organized and getting people together, and that takes time. It takes someone to do it. I haven't got the time to do that because I'm doing other things and I'm writing these papers. So then also we may have the enemy come in. Yeah, I'll take care of it. You know, who knows? But it's something.
They're overloaded now. They can't even handle the cases they have now. I don't know if it's just, you know, they're not able to really, or they're not doing very much. But the other thing is this, that they won't be able to do this. They will not. You know, I'm watching that show, American Greed. I'm binge watching American Greed, and oh my goodness, you know, the number of fraud cases, and it's just unbelievable. And that's it. The government doesn't have the resources to go after everyone, you know, so they end up just going after, you know, a select few. And so it would have to revert to the states. It would have to.
All right. Well, look, I got to move on, but I'll think about how we might do this, if there's a way to do it that might be sensible and advantageous and we can really organize it, but I'm not sure. But we'll see. Again, you know, we need to do it.
I've
got to move on because two more people and we're 5 minutes.
I work for the government, and I know they don't pay attention to anything unless there's a consensus of the people. You know, that's it.
All right. Well, again, we'll consider it. I got to move on because we're 5 minutes over, and I got two more people. I want to give them at least 2 minutes apiece. So
okay. That's my question.
If you want, but I'll think about it. And we'll consider it if you organize it. Thank you.
All right. Good night.
Good night. Okay, Brett, we only got a couple of minutes. We're going over time here. What do you got?
Hello?
Go right ahead. You got the mic, Brett.
Excuse me. I'm dealing with juvenile court again, and there's a pretrial conference next week, and the prosecutor, with the prosecutor on the telephone, and the trial will be in front of the judge. But I'm seeking some ideas on what to say on that phone call.
Yeah, again, I don't know enough about the case. I believe we've spoken before.
Yeah, we've spoken before, but this is a disorderly conduct case.
Yeah, I remember something. I don't know what to tell you. Again, you know, you have to know the details of the case. You've got to know the attitude, who the judge is, and what their attitude is. And you've been going to court. I don't know if you've been able to read them. You know, there's a lot involved in trying to figure things out, and it's sad that we have not been educated enough to be able to take care of our business. You know, look, if you want to keep the slaves, you got to keep them ignorant. You can't allow them to read. You got to keep them ignorant, okay? And that it was against the law to teach slaves to read. And you know, now the same thing applies to the people who have liberty. If people expect to be ignorant and free, forget about it. You got to keep the slaves ignorant. You can't let them know, come into the courts. You can't let them represent themselves. You can't let them understand how things work. Let's keep things secret. Let's do a priestly thing. Let's put statutes out there. Let's change the whole system. And they did all this because we fell asleep. We've lost control, you know. But I don't know what to tell you on that because... and we don't have the time. We're over time. that are set down. I mean, you know, if you can put it off, maybe you get in early next week. Maybe I'll give you some thoughts. I don't know.
Okay. As far as the next friend that you were speaking about some minutes ago, how would that look on the paperwork, or how would that be presented on paper?
Well, again, you go. Well, if you roll back, you watch the video. You can roll back and see what I put out there. You can freeze the screen and cut and paste, or however you want to do it. You know, get that information. And it's just a matter of reading the code and let it go. Let it be known.
Okay.
You have a right to go in and represent yourself or others. I have a right to go into that court and practice law. I don't need a bar attorney to go practice law. I have a right to go into that court and practice law, whether I represent myself or, you know, I don't like to use that word, but we'll use it, or I try to represent someone else who can't represent themselves. I should be able to do that, but they fight you tooth and nail. But anyway, okay. I got to call with one other person, and we could talk more next week, and sorry I didn't get you in earlier. So.
Thank you, John.
Okay, last call. You got the mic from Chicago. Is it Tizak?
Yes, this is Tizak. How's it going, Don?
Good, good. Only got a minute or two. I'm sorry, but sure. Go ahead.
That should be more than enough. Quickly, to respond to the woman who was describing not being allowed to represent herself with the online proceeding, I think there's he was in the layman who became self-educated, Dean Clifford. Is a content creator. I think he's Dean C. Clifford on YouTube. And at the moment, I just opened up on YouTube something by a channel called Anonymous Productions that has Dean Clifford making it simple. I think there might be one or two videos on this. I'm looking at one that's a little over 2 hours long. And I've seen his work. He does touch on something that I think would explain what was going on with the woman not being allowed to represent herself, and that could, in short, be the court only doing business with corporations. So when
that's exactly what the whole thing was set up on originally, anyway. But of course, they turned it on to the people and call us corporations. So this is the problem we're dealing with. But it is an uphill battle, and hopefully that woman will go out and take a look at it. Maybe
right,
she
how they're doing it, et cetera. A few more seconds on that, in case you know people aren't going to do the multi-hour deep dive. One of the things he does to kind of handle that is he'll come in, and of course with confidence and his head up high, and he's familiar with the jargon and what they're doing, so he'll identify as an executor of that account. And they, you know, change their tune, and, you know, then he understands the dynamics of trust law, and he kind of turns the tables on them using, you know, his insight in legalese. Now, on other matters, I know the name Brent has been thrown around a couple times tonight. Is Brent Allen Winters still a friend of the organization, and is he still, I guess, participating or active with?
Well, he's been active on a lot of different things, so he hasn't been around for a while. But, yeah, I talk with him from time to time. I talked with him today, as a matter of fact. So, yeah, he appreciates what we're doing, and we appreciate what he's doing. He's been doing a lot of work with Sheriff Starr out there in Michigan, and he's been teaching some courses. And I've been going to all those courses that he's taught. So, you know, Brent's interesting. He's got a lot of great input.
Definitely. I think he's an asset to the organization. It would be nice
Absolutely.
If he could maybe grace us a little bit more often. Well, that was
I look to him as an advisor. When I really get stuck or have a question, not sure, he's the guy to go to.
Yeah, I think he's definitely a rare breed these days.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Thanks.
All right, well, we've got to end it there. So hopefully we'll talk again maybe next week or another time, but got to end it now. All right.
Of course. I might send you a little email, but on something we talked about a couple weeks ago.
Okay. Yeah. If you don't have, do you have my email, or send it to the mail? And I'll get it there. I'll keep an eye on.
I'm sure I have it. We've emailed before.
Okay.
We've talked about,
yeah. Yeah. Your name looks familiar. Okay.
I'm in Chicago.
Okay. Thanks. Right. Okay. That brings us. Thanks, everyone, for showing up. And look, let's get active. Let's do what we have to do. Let's save the republic. Let's put some time into education. Let's put some time into getting people involved, getting the committees of safety going, and reach into your pocket, see what you can afford to give, even if it's only $5, whatever, to be able to help pay to get this in. And we'll get done whatever we can get done. We'll get the paperwork done. It'll be a matter of filing it and working through the system. So the first one is going to be the most expensive, I think, because, well, maybe not. It probably will be, because we have to serve individuals. The biggest one's going to be the lawsuit against the judiciary, which is really kind of an indictment, because there's a lot of printing to do, and there's a lot of, and we don't have to have sheriffs to serve it. It's filing, and we'll file it with certified mail to the courts. So, okay, good night, everybody. Thanks for coming. We'll see you next week.